The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Dr. Lord Kelly, are we going to drop in another song here, Mike, or should I just take it away? Right on. Hey, welcome back to the National Intel Report. This is Dr. Kelly. I've got James as my co-host. And I was right in the middle of a pretty intense thought, and I'll pick up with a tiny bit more of that as we come back into the top of the hour, second hour. It's the 23rd of February, and this citation, this couple of three paragraphs in the Merck Index, the Centennial Edition, and so let's see, here we go. We're talking about ribonuclease. I'm going to talk about enzymes a little bit here because there's just a lot of fraud out there. Maybe people just misunderstand that enzyme function is controlled or has three limiting factors. One is the pH of a solution or an organ or certain parts in your organism. Heavy metals are also another limiting interfering factor, and probably temperature in the case of many enzymes to complete their index step and their function. So there are, and if someone is willing to print and mail these to Post Office Box 1624, Kings Beach, California, 96143, I'd really appreciate that. Box holder or Dr. Kelly, P.O. Box 1624, Kings Beach, California, 96143, because I will probably go anywhere or do anything for adventures. But here I pick up on a series of articles describing the total synthesis of a protein, having the full enzymatic activity of bovine pancreatic ribonuclease. Let's see, that was N Fujii, F-U-J-I-I, first initial N. The other scientist is H, the last name is Yajima, Y-A-J-I-M-A, and you can find this in the Journal of Chemical Society in the Perkins transcript, Perkin, P-E-R-K-I-N, and Roman numeral 1, and the year 1981. The pages go from 789 to 841, and I'd love to read that, learning how it specifically catalyzes the cleavage of the phosphodiester bond between the 3' and 5' positions of the ribose moieties in RNA with the formation of oligonucleotides terminating in 2', comma, and 3' cyclic phosphate derivatives. And it goes on, but I won't, except to say this.
The optimum temperature for digestion of yeast ribonucleic acid, which is my favorite, RNA, is 65 degrees. The optimum pH is 7.7. And again, as I mentioned, enzymes are inhibited by heavy metal ions, by magnesium ions, at concentrations as low as decimal point 0005 and a big capital M for the molarity thingy-majingy. So, competitively inhibited by DNA, the effect of denatured DNA being greater than that of the native nucleic acid, as James was explaining, then the cell goes kablooey. Ribonuclease is precipitated by trichloroacetic acid and does not diffuse through colloidion or cellophane. Sorry. I just had to. James?
Right. Now I'm looking at some beautiful pictures of electron microscopes, and they have a top part, and they have a bottom part, and they look like a very fancy high-pressure coffee maker, except for the transformer behind them to give you the voltage for the electrons. But what we have here in this business of figuring out what is life, we have a massive interdisciplinary process. You mentioned solubility a minute ago. Well, now you've got physical chemistry. Of course, you've got the organic chemistry. You've got polymers chemistry. And you've got physics. And, of course, what I write about in my book is quantum mechanical forces in the DNA and how the DNA opens. And so you've got many different disciplines here. And I remember one time when this professor who was specialized in X-ray crystallography was invited to give a talk to the biology students in fourth year about how to do X-ray diffraction. And by the time he got to the Patterson function and the Fourier transform analysis, everybody was on the floor groaning in agony, including the department chairman of biology. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah, it literally. They were, yes, on the floor. Do we have to have this mathematics? Well, yeah. Well, but I don't understand it. Yeah, well, we'll teach you. It's okay. That's how these things work.
That's great.
So someone can go into graduate school, and they get their project, and then they discover, but I don't know any of that math, but I don't know how to do electronics. There's all kinds of things involved in these projects.
And darn it, don't you know it? Yeah, and as soon as you get through general chemistry, then they'll come up with organic chemistry, and then there's biochemistry. Yeah. And these are, I guess, like high hurdles or high jumps that you have to clear before you can make it to the next level. And it's a darn good thing. My first physics course was a foreigner. I'm not sure which country he was from, but he had this terrible reputation, and I had to go in there and I guess straighten things out. And he'd say something, and I thought he was cussing at us in this foreign language because he kept saying "Efikwizame," and I raised my hand. I said, Professor, what are you saying? Can you just write it on the board, and then I'll be fine for the next 17 weeks? And it was F equals M-A. And so, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Could have been a stumbling block, but it wasn't.
Right, yes. I remember I saw an interview with Kerry Mullis, or that is to say people were discussing his life, and when he did his doctoral, when he did his oral exam for his doctorate, Some of the people on the board thought that he should know more general organic chemistry than what he knew. So they caught him up in a few questions that he wasn't able to take on, that he wasn't able to answer quickly. So, of course, he was brilliant at what he knew, of course, for his thesis. But that's what they'll do. They'll get you in front of the board, and, you know, it depends on, you know, how you take the exam. And there's all kinds of things involved in a science business that doesn't get put in the books, right?
It ain't like the textbook.
Well, and then there's the politics of your discovery. You say, well, I'd like to work in this field. No, you can't do that. Oh, why not? Well, because you don't have a license, or don't make up some excuse. And then, yeah, but I want to find a cure for this disease. No, no, you can't do that. Why not? You see, all kinds of things. Well, we don't have any research money for that, you see. But there's all kinds of issues in the background.
Yeah, my buddy Bill was working on, you know, telomeres and all that stuff, and it was something, you know, like he was whining to his dad about something, and he's like, well, son, if you don't like aging, just go find the cure for it.
Right.
And that started Sierra Science over in Reno. Yeah. And that guy, right. He's like a 100-mile runner, like that super distance runner. I was like, I'm not running unless I'm being chased. And then I might not run first.
Right. And I just came across a gentleman who died not too long ago by the name of Luc Montagnier. And Luc won the 2008 Nobel Prize in physiology or medicine. And his field was virology. And toward the end of his life, he was saying things about, HIV and so on and so forth, and talking about this SARS-CoV-2 thing as possibly being a bioweapon deliberately created and escaped from a laboratory. And, a couple of days ago, Luke has gone to the big lab in the sky. He's no longer with us, and I wonder what he did wrong. But anyway, that's open for speculation, Your Honor.
I won't take the title of honor or nobility, but I'll take the title of doctor if I earned it here. And people, I've got my bags packed. I'm ready to go to Beulah Land when the good Lord appoints that time. And I would, you know, suggest, encourage, and advise people do the same, because this is a magnificent, brilliant, intelligent creation, and I just happen to be getting to occupy this body and this space and this time, and I'm grateful to be able to use it to, bring my other brothers and sisters up to this next level, and then we're going to keep moving up till we get to that capstone, and then I'm going to kick it off and see what I find inside.
Well, like one of the presenters on RBN says, and I like to hear him say it, it's all about the Benjamins. So you can be a brilliant physicist, a brilliant biochemist, but if the bottom line looks bad for the corporation, you're out of here. Time to retire.
Yeah, and my X-ray physics professor and a brilliant instructor, Dr. Michael Dobbins, he taught all over the planet, and we just had a good old time learning from him and hanging out with him. It was a great time, and he did go to that big... that big nuclear submarine in the sky, like 2013, man, I lost so many people that I cared about in 2013, and it looks like a whole nother wave went in 2017, and another oddity, I was getting treated for a car crash,
by a local chiropractor in Grass Valley. And the doctor told me that I think it was Gonzalez had passed away. And I thought it was George Gonzalez that does the quantum neurology stuff. And I just immediately went into, you know, I just immediately started praying for him and his family. And I didn't even know which Gonzalez I was praying for. But it didn't matter. Because the point is, I went to the great physician to pray for one of the, you know, what I thought was a beloved physician. And, yeah, it's, you know, what Dobbins would say, too, is that the grocery stores are where all the good things are. They should be funding the research into, for example, beets. You know, just to name one item that you can get at the grocery store, and you can get it organic and maybe better from a farmer's market or from your own garden. And I loved those patients that after I cared for them for maybe the same thing, maybe it was a car crash, that they would just be like, hey, I'm going to continue care. And they'd show up with, you know, a couple of boxes of just beautiful, organic, local vegetables. And it's, you know, it's a pleasure and, you know, it's a huge responsibility, but it is very welcome, at least from my perspective. How about you, James?
Well, absolutely. I was going to say, when I was just starting my research in biochemistry, biophysics, and whatnot, when 9/11 happened, and there was this release of anthrax, and I thought about it at the time. I said, these guys better know that you can actually trace where the anthrax came from if you know what to look for on the molecule. And sure enough, it wasn't from the Middle East where this anthrax came from. It was somewhere sort of closer.
Exactly where, and it's so cool because we're both on this party wave, surfing this giant wave, and between then and now, that same period of time, I was looking into it, and apparently it's from Dugway, Utah, the Dugway Proving Grounds, and lo and behold, people in Salt Lake City and in Park City, all you folks to the east of that, when there's a prevailing westerly wind, Dugway Proving Grounds are, you know, right there by the big city, and that's pretty terrible. But the good thing over there in Utah is the real salt company and the caverns. And I was just talking with somebody there at Redmond Life Products, and I can't wait to go visit, and you can actually do a tour of the salt mine. And I can't wait for it because I was making jokes and we're trying to get you some of the product up there, James. And yes. The girl's like, oh, dude, you're like my soul sister. We're sitting in the back of the van and cracking jokes. And I told her that, you know, you were trying to locate your local real salt people up there. And I kind of made it funny. I said, this gal was a few grains short of a crystal, okay? I don't know.
Right. But I was also looking at Montagnier here. He spent a couple, some time at in Shanghai in the Jiao Tong University, and maybe he should have stayed in China. That he might have lived to 90 or 91. I'm just guessing, but that is very important thing about what the politics of science. Oh yeah, I was going to mention, I mentioned the kids coloring book for DNA. Well, the book after that I'll write is entitled They Shoot Scientists, Don't They?
Oh, that's great. All right, this is Dr. Kelly with the National Intel Report. I've got a co-host, James, and go ahead and support RBN during this commercial break and go shopping at their store. There's goodies there for you.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Gabriel, right on, love the sledgehammer, unless it's some lunatic swinging a sledgehammer at cars in Sacramento. You know, people, oh, California, what a great place to emigrate to. Now you can't even be waiting out the bus stop without getting stabbed, unless, of course, you have the best gun. That would be a stun gun. And, I wanted to pop on to enzymes again for just a second here and cover something that I didn't mention yet. So I'm over at my buddy's place. He's a fire chief, and he's got a bunch of cases of alkalized water. And so I had to give him a tiny, not a lecture, but just a little information, a little wisdom, a little knowledge. This wisdom and knowledge is the pH of the stomach acid is
best functioning at 1 to 2 on the pH scale. That's because it's stomach acid. If that pH is messed with, there are fecal oral contaminants such as polio virus that if your stomach acid isn't at a level that can destroy and break down that virus, people become infected with it. I also had a couple of college professors and other people that I met in this life that had what's called post-polio syndrome, and they were infected with polio virus from the vaccine. That deadly vaccine contained simian virus 40, SV40, which led me to look into the work of Dr. Kabara and Laura Seiden, or Laura Seiden, which is the monolaurin from coconut oil. What Dr. Kabara's work involved was getting the primate volunteers to ingest the coconut product, the Laura Seiden, and the monkeys were then injected with simian virus 40. And none of them contracted the disease. So, you know, just another tool in the big rolling tool chest to fix things and people. And lo and behold, look at that. It comes from good food. Yeah. James?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that this mentor I had some 40 years ago, we were talking he was giving a class, and he said they asked Henry Ford years ago, Mr. Ford, what color can you get in your new Model T when you buy it? And Henry Ford said, oh, you can have any color you want as long as it's black.
Yeah, yeah.
About 1908.
Exactly. Any customer can have any color they want as long as it's black.
Yep. And you know why? Because black was the only color that would dry fast enough for his assembly line. That was why. And that was the technology at that time. And we've come a long way since that. But I just found out that there's about 50 or 60,000 Model Ts still alive and doing well in America. So there's a testament to ingenuity right there.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, when I was a youngster in Anaheim, California, one of our neighbors, the dad, he drove a catering truck. And then they had, I don't know if it was a Model A or a Model T, I didn't know the difference, but it was so cool. You know, it's so amazing when you don't have somebody interfering with your work that you can, you know, I'm seeking out knowledge of witty inventions because that's the prudent thing to do with my time. And
well, I hear people are complaining about computerized cars. Cars with no steering wheels, and I'd complain too. So why don't we all just get into the Ford Model T secondhand market, and we've got that problem solved. No radios, no radiation, no nothing.
Yeah, brilliant. And I want a little steam engine, and I want a little the gasifier, and do it how they did it in Voltaire, Finland. All right, here we are, bottom of the hour break. Thank you, Mike. And people, get on in to the RBN store, call Mike, and give a donation, and thank you. We'll see you on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds. And if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Way home from Candletown, been 2 weeks gone, and he thought he'd stop at Webb's and have him a drink before he went home to her. Andy Wolo said hello. He said, "Hi, what's doing?" Wolo said, "Sit down, I got some bad news that's gonna hurt." He said, "I'm your best friend, and you know that's right, but your young bride ain't home tonight. Since you've been gone, she's been seeing that aimless boy Seth." Now he got mad and he saw red, and he said, "Boy, don't you lose your head, 'cause to tell you the truth, I've been with her myself." Walking on home, 'cause he didn't live far, you see, and he didn't have many friends, and he just lost him one. Brother thought his wife must have left town, so he went home and finally found the only thing Daddy had left him, and that was a gun. He went off to Andy's house, slipping through the backwoods, squires and mouse, came upon some tracks too small for Andy to make. Screen at the back porch door, and he saw Andy lying on the floor in a pile. do it?
Yeah, why'd you do it? Hey, welcome back to the National Intel Report. I've got Dr. Kelly here on Big Wednesday and my co-host James. And I wanted to clarify, we got a couple of good references from, I think we did the show on the 16th of February, and we also did February 1st and 2nd on National Intel Report. And I think it might be waiting at the library. It is the title, One Marine's War, and I just wanted to clarify the spelling about Lieutenant Robert Sheeks. So it's Sheeks, S-H-E-K, as in Kelly, S. And thank you for mentioning those things, James, and reminding us of our history from that northern perspective, because, you know, I heard a few things about Justin Trudeau, and this is what I've heard, that he's a low-down Yankee liar, and so we'll still write his name in the snow, but different.
Well, I found out about the Marines by hanging out with them, basically. One guy in particular, that's how I found out about the Marines. And this gentleman that I hung out with, he saw combat. He was an interpreter for the Marine Corps, 4th Marine Division on Saipan. And the 4th Marine Division is a special division. And I believe Sheeks was in the 2nd Marine Division. I can't confirm that exactly, but they knew each other because they were both official translators. And so that's where I learned about the whole story. And he disagreed on how to deal with the Japanese on Saipan. My buddy, he wanted to approach them directly in terms of their mission was to... The mission was to convince the civilian population that the American GIs wouldn't hurt the civilian population, and to keep them from committing suicide and things like that. That was their mission. So my buddy, he wanted to approach the Japanese. They were hiding in caves, a lot of Japanese hiding in caves, and his attitude was to go up to them and talk to them and try to convince them to come out. Well, Sheeks, and I think I got it right, he wanted to use loudspeakers, you know, to get the message over loudspeakers. This was one thing they disagreed on. But other than that, it was a very intensive war.
Yeah, that's
a lot of both. Yeah.
Is a real plague, unfortunately, to the Japanese people. You know, they get to a point where they lose all hope, and then they go find a long, tall cliff. And, you know, I'm grateful because someone else was telling me the story about people that go on, you know, short-term missions or mission trips or establish a station where, you know, they'll care for the families and, you know, point them in the right direction, saying, no, don't go down that path, you know, don't murder yourself.
Right. That's where I learned firsthand about post-traumatic stress disorder. I actually saw it because even 50 years after the war, my buddy would break down in convulsions of tears. It would last for minutes at a time, like, say, 3-4 minutes, and that war, he never got over that war, and I think this is something that we don't understand about combat veterans, that it never goes away. It never goes away. So,
yeah, I had quite a few servicemen that were either retired or some of them were still active when we were in chiropractic college, and. Scott and Debbie Walker do
they're chiropractors, doctors as well, and they do neuro-emotional technique, and there's total body modification, and there really is an entire body of knowledge dedicated to helping people so that they don't have to go through that. Because, you know, even before I was a doctor, just doing, got certified to do massage, was an acupuncture assistant, and on occasion, I could be working on someone, and they might have some sort of, you know, a body reflex or something, and then I'll stop for a minute, take a few notes, and, you know, they were probably, it was a trauma from either a surgery or an injury, and finally, I thought, man, I got to learn how to fix this, because there are people out there fixing these things quicker than we can tell the story. And you're probably only going to get the straight fact here on RBN, at least from me, because I'm accountable for every word that I say. And, you know, thanks again, James. I really appreciate you.
One more thing, if I could, I want to tell you. That the nurses in those MASH units on Saipan were tougher than nails, tough as hell. In fact, sometimes children would get shot by accident, and my buddy would have to translate. And the nurses in the operating room never broke down, but my buddy did. So this is one thing I want to mention, that women, okay, maybe they shouldn't be in combat. I get it. But when they're in that MASH unit doing that nursing, they are tough. So I just want to get that out there. Thanks.
I really appreciate that, yeah. And I totally give credit to combat lifesavers and care providers that are working out in the field. It's super critical. It's super important. And I was heading up the hill. I did a little cat and house sitting like a week or so ago, and I had to put four-wheel drive the Bronco, and I got to lock the hubs and all this stuff, and a gentleman came down the street, and he wasn't drafted to go do combat, but he was working in the hospital in South Lake Tahoe during the war, and I was, you know, this poor guy gotten some kind of car crash, and the idiots at the VA aren't fixing him. And so, you know, I know it was very providential that I got to meet this man. And I said, you're the CHAMPUS or whatever the health care is for servicemen, chiropractors will take care of you. You know, not just anyone. I've got a short list of people that know a lot more than I do, and would be happy to refer if I couldn't fix them, you know, because I never failed with a patient. I always gave I'll do warranty work. But when they came in and discovered that I knew that if corn was on their no-no list and they ate it, I'd hop up and down and get mad for a little bit. And I'd say, why do that to yourself? Dr. Kelly, how'd you know? Well, because your body can't lie.
I was wondering if I could, I wanted to ask a question if I could. Could you tell everybody how long a chiropractic session lasts usually? Might be interesting for people.
Oh, yeah, it totally depends. I got to start out as an acupuncturist assistant, and then I started to be a chiropractic assistant. Always different. The first group of guys I went to were pretty good. It was through Dr. Walker, the Walker Chiropractic Center down in Costa Mesa. And I saw this really cool logo on the doctor's business card. And it was, you know, gold, foil, whatever. And it was the applied kinesiology symbol. And it's a circle with a bunch of different points and a triangle inside. And the circle is N for nutrition and nerves, the neurovascular component, the neurolymphatic component, the acupuncture meridian connector. And I was like, wow, you know, what is all that stuff?
And the magic words that came out of his mouth, it was just like the movie The Sandlot. He's like, that's applied kinesiology, but don't do that because you'll spend too much time with your patients. Oh, right. That was all I needed to know. And so sometimes the doctor will be like, oh, we got 15 minutes for you here. And that would be a regularly scheduled office visit. Well, for my regularly scheduled office visit and for Dr. Francis, in the past, it could take up to 2 hours to examine, diagnose, and treat a new patient. When I went to see him, I didn't need to see him but once about every 3 years. It's $300 an hour. You're face-to-face that whole time, and I didn't use but a part of my time, so I had credit. And I went in 2012, and I went in 2013, and but I've been gluten-free for like 25 years, so I found out what goes in is good, and they can do all of those things. It would be an applied kinesiologist, someone with that postdoctoral education and experience and certification. It could be a total body modification, TBM doctor. You can go to somebody that knows the neuro-emotional technique. And what's really cool is when your body is done, it goes into what we call an all-yin condition, where all the muscles will be weak. And then we're done. You know, we get to let them marinate with those good things working. And then, you know, ask the body, when do I see you again? For me, you know, 6 months, 3 years, unless I get in a car crash, and then that just wrecks everything. But, so it definitely varies. But reference would be ICAKUSA.com. to find a doctor. But then I further give this offer that make sure I know who I'm referring you to if I need to, and make sure, you know, they did their homework. And so I wouldn't refer to somebody that knew less than I did. And then that's hard, you know, if I got hurt, then I got to drive 500 miles to get fixed.
Right. Now, if people needed to know where they could get a good chiropractor, could they go to Box 13 there and write you a letter? Would that be a good idea? Or
back in the good old days, let's see. So one of my favorite groups, because they do a lot of short-term missions, would be through the Christian Chiropractors Association. And they're like, you know, my regular prayer partners. They go to Cuba, Thailand, you know, they're going all over the place. And then for international folks, if you're out in the jungle, there's Caring Partners International, and they also work with medical doctors, osteopath, naturopath. They do dispensing for optometry. They bring shoes and just really bless people in Jamaica or South America or wherever they might be working. And I'm so appreciative of the folks up in Port Alberni that I would love to do a mission trip across, you know, I want to circle the North Pole.
One more procedure. When you look at a patient for the first time, you check their pulse?
Absolutely. And I use, with applied kinesiology, I learned how to do what we call pulse point diagnosis. So I'm actually accessing the acupuncture meridian connectors, AMC, part of the picture. And in 98, Dr. Francis was invited to the, I guess it would be the Shanghai, I'm not sure the location, the Chinese Medical Olympic Institute invited him over there to teach them how to do muscle testing based on meridians. And when I went to visit Dr. Francis, he had published like another half a dozen papers on the divergent meridians, the convert, like all these just really far out things that he put into his published research. So, you know, that's Dr. Francis, that's my mentor, and I'm not going to refer anybody to him because, you know, I might, but it's just, you know, one of our doctor students developed stage 4 testicular cancer, and this is documented, this is published, this is Dr. Derek Sahara, spelled like Sahara, and, you know, there's a long, good history there. These young men were still eating fast food 10 years after it had started to be really messed with in the genetic modification arena. This was 2003, and, you know, I was like, yeah, I'll take you guys to the airport. We can tool around in my rental car, but you're going to have to put your, you know, Carl Jr.'s in the trunk because I don't want to smell it after you've left. And you know,
I love Carl Jr. Yeah.
Oh, I used to, dude. My office was right behind him, so I could get that $6 Angus burger.
Yeah. I'm, but I was going to say in Chinese that technique of checking the pulse is called ba mai, and I was able to have some Chinese medicine. The person I was working for would take us to the Chinese doctor a couple times a week, and I was, of course, I didn't believe in it at first, and then after I got used to it, I could see the results in other patients that were quite positive. One had a very serious heart problem, and she had purple skin, and then about a month or two, she was all cleared up. Somehow he had change the tissue in the heart, and so that's my testimony there.
Oh yeah, that's good stuff, and I'm so glad that you did that and that you mentioned it, because then it reminds me there's a company in Palmyra, Wisconsin called Standard Process, and at one point in time I thought, man, I need to move out to Wisconsin. And what they do for their employees, they have, you know, you have an allowance for products. They make veterinary formulas. They do MediHerb. They pay for your acupuncture, chiropractic, massage. And you just, they really take care of the employees and do good things. And, you know, when I call Real Salt, I can get a hold of somebody there unless they're out. But they're only out because it's maternity leave, not like when you're going to go shopping at Safeway. But, oh, why are the shelves empty? Because half of the employees were out with Corolla virus just recently. Oh, yeah. You know, so it's very telling. It's really interesting to see these finally eating their own. And, boy, it's... you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear any evil.
Right. But Wisconsin has got a great history in manufacturing. My father used to import millions of dollars out of Wisconsin, out of Milwaukee, up into Canada, specifically Wisconsin engines, and a great university in Madison. Big names in mathematics and physics there, and chemistry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you, too. When you were talking about your in North Dakota, when you went to those lectures, yes. Go ahead and tell the rest of the audience how long those lasted.
Well, they were intensive courses. The first one, so the first course was 2 weeks long, but it started every day, 8 in the morning. Coffee break at 10, 15 minutes, and then lunchtime for an hour, and then we'd go from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and then after 5 o'clock was supper, and then we'd come in around 7 to 10 at night for questions. So during the lectures in the daytime, we're not allowed to ask questions for time, but from 7 to 10 at night, we asked questions, and a lot was done in that 3 hours. Now, that was the first course. The second course lasted another 2 weeks, and everybody there had at least a master's degree or PhD except me, somehow I survived. And it was the same thing. It was more intensive than the basic course, but it had the same timeline. So that's where, in that second course, I met people from Monsanto and 3M.
And, yeah, 3M, and that stands for the Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing Corporation,
right.
3M. Yeah,
right.
A lot of really stuff coming out there.
There's a joke about that. They call it Minnesota Minings and Meetings. And that means at 3M, you always have to have a partner you work with, and you always have to collect your results. And the two buildings of 3M are very near each other. And so it's a totally managed situation. Nobody works at 3M on a project on their own. That's absolutely verboten. You've got to have a partner. And each day your notes are signed by seniors that come around and check everything. And, they check you going out, too. It's an amazing place.
Yeah, that kind of spoils
you.
I had some buddies that worked at NASA, and the term billable hours was enough to break their heart.
Lots of competition to get into those companies. Lots of people standing in line hoping to join up, you see. And it's a tradition. But I don't know in the last while what's going on. Things maybe have changed a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, my buddy finally got the brains to leave NASA. His name's Ben Harmon. And then he developed Slouch. Slouch. I'm like, dude, you're anything but a slouch, is what he called his slouch company. And then it became a Century, but spelled with an S instead of the C for the word Century. And it was so cool with the factory right there and with his NASA knowledge to be building snowboards. That's the guy that I want on my board.
Well, on the next, thanks again for having me. Thank you.
And thank you so much. This is awesome. We're already winding down to the end of another super fun Big Wednesday here on Republic Broadcasting Network. This was the National Intel Report for the 23rd of February. Thank you, folks, and I hope we can do this next Wednesday.
Take America back. We must take America back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.